He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petso Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petso, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petso Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petso.
Hello and good morning. You know, it just strikes me as we're, I was thinking about, you know, what do I really want to talk about this week, you know, and what do I want to share? And there is a lot going on in the world. There's so many different directions you can run in what is normally this dull time. And I really believe here in a couple of weeks, it's going to be Dullsville. I mean, in Wall Street, I hope so. Because otherwise it'll be frantically talking about something that's going wrong, not right. And because as we get through this earnings season, there's just nothing in August except vacations, right? It's slow. But normally, even now, it would be like earnings, yeah, whatever. And things wouldn't be quite as interesting on Wall Street. But it is more interesting right now. Because of what's going on in China, you know, propping up the market, then it collapses, and then they prop it some more. Are they really slowing down? I mean, these are all interesting questions. Really super important questions, because they're certainly to the commodity space. We see absolute incredible moves in the energy markets. Mind-numbing action over in iron ore and things like that. I mean, commodities are collapsing, right? I mean, they are just really collapsing. So we have a lot of stuff going on. What does it all mean? Well, I don't know what it means for the future. Nobody does. I mean, it means this, it means that, it means China this and that. And all the pundits are, well, they're wrong. They're wrong all the time. The world doesn't clearly show you what it's going to do. Like ever. Ever. So, and I was thinking about this as we were looking at the news and recognizing that so much of the news is just like literally made up. It's just made up. All the talk of the strong dollar, right? I mean, it's just the dollar's too strong. And you hear people like Cramer going, it's insanely strong, the insanely strong dollar. Blah, 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 blah. Can't even have form a sentence without throwing in insanely strong dollar. And then you go across and it's just like this not this constant, wow, the dollar is just so strong. And I look at it and go, man, I mean, by now, because I knew months ago we were on our way to par 100 on the dollar to euro. I knew we were on our way. I mean, it's like it's, you know, in the single digits, 108, then it was 107 the next day and 105. And we hear everybody talking about how strong the dollar is. It's still super strong month after month. So, I mean, what are we, 80 cents on the for the euro now? Is that where we're at? We must be with all this talk of the strong dollar. And the answer is no, we're not. It's actually at 110. It's been stuck. It stopped at 105, bounced up to about 111, and it's stuck between 110, 109, 109, and 112, call it. Been stuck there. But yet everybody just won't stop with yesterday's news. I mean, it's a horror show of some kind, I guess. It's the reason why oil's down. Well, no, it's not. The dollar didn't strengthen on this last move down. Certainly not against, maybe against the Zimbabwe, whatever it did, but it certainly didn't against the euro. And a dollar basket is no stronger than, it's weaker than it was a couple months ago. It's not, you know, materially weaker, but it's not stronger at all. It's the opposite of strong. It is incredible that we just get, you just gravitate towards, the strong dollar. Yeah, the strong dollar. And it's not. Nobody even looks to see. Yes, it's strong, but it hasn't strengthened. And it's all a relative to what it was a couple months ago. Yeah, it's strong. It's harder for our corporations, but not more difficult than it was 2 months ago. It's not the reason that energy has fallen again. It's not the reason that copper is down. It's not the reason natural gas is falling. It's not. But we just constantly report it. Constantly. So much of it is just made up. Or it's yesterday's. Or it's a month ago. And they just regurgitate the same stuff over and over and over and over again. Astounding. So I also got to thinking about that and thought, wow, you know, it's interesting how we perceive all this news, isn't it? Now, it's not even necessarily accurate, but let's take it a step further. And imagine, if you will, if we just twist the dialogue a little bit with some things, right? Instead of hearing about how bad Greece is for years, and how bad an actor they are, and how they're going to take down the world, and so on and so forth, wouldn't it be interesting just to shift the tone a little bit and to be thinking in terms of something more positive? Now, I'm not making up a Pollyannish story. I'm just simply saying, instead of constantly assuming that a place like Greece is going to take out the world, and they don't, and then we move on to the next crisis that's going to take out the whole world, instead of just automatically thinking that way, that all news is world-ending, that all things are doom and gloom, and allowing those reports to come in that way, what if we just twist them a little bit, right? Yeah, like, you know, I always talk about flip the coin over and look at the other side. Just turn it over and mull over the idea. Just a little example might be Greece, right? So instead of talking about it as world-ending, we simply say Greece was perhaps kicked out, you know, let's say they were, kicked out of the European Union. This should strengthen the European Union as the weakest member is gone. Wouldn't that actually be true? Of course, it would be. I never heard a report like that. Certainly not a headline. Lower energy prices are great for consumers. Period. Period. They are. Developing markets are being crushed by the commodities. Okay, let's flip that one over. Is that true? How about developing countries that consume enormous amounts of imported oil, energy, and other raw materials get big boost with declining prices? Oh, they're not all the same. Weird. Weird. They're not all the same. But they're treated the same. If we can put it all in a doomsday headline. Huh. Obama's got 2 more years to destroy the country. And he doesn't care. He's going to keep doing all of these horrible things. And the Justice Department was going to keep doing all these things. And they are. I get it. How about this? Only 2 more years of the worst president of the United States. And we made it through that. Imagine how bountiful our future will be. It's the same story. And it's true. We don't have to let all of the doomsday news sink in that way because it's not true. Now, Hey, this economy is barely breathing. I get that. It should be stronger. I get that. This president is horrible. I get that. There's nobody in the White House that even has ever run a snow cone stand. I totally get that. They're so clueless to business. They hate business. They just think that they're smarter than everybody else. The arrogance is untouchable. It's a whole different air up there. It is horrible. This whole administration got it. And guess what? We're surviving. We're not thriving the way we ought to be. I get that. But we're surviving. And we've only got 2 more years. And whoever's there, Democrat or Republican, could never be as horrible as this. Never. Just not possible. It's not possible to be as anti-business. It's not possible to be as partisan. Not possible. Nobody is this awful. No administration could be this corrupt. Not possible. Almost done. That's the real news to me. Not we're not going to make it, because we are going to make it. We're going to make it to that finish line. Europe's going to make it. Weird. And the whole China thing, sure, that's bad news. Economically, is it? I don't know. Is a strong China a safer world? I mean, a really strong China? A free, strong China? Are they free? No. A free, strong China, maybe that'd be good for the world. They're not free. A strong military in China, is that good? Does that help the world be safer? You know, them palling up with the Iranians and stuff, is that good for us? Is it good that they're weak? Weaker? Maybe? I don't know. I just don't see everything as all bad news all the time. It's not always all good. I don't think that. But I just don't think it's impossible to turn things over, look at the other side, maybe reverse those headlines a little bit. Just think about it. Is that what we just want to naturally absorb, all bad all the time? All things are all bad all the time? But we just need to stop once in a while and go, you know, it just isn't that bad. The world is a better place than it has ever been in history. How did we get here? Through all this horror. Doesn't mean you don't stop fighting. You do fight. Fight for what's right. But when you see them all making up news, this dollar's strong, Europe's going to implode, you just see them rallying behind some end-of-the-world footnote. Or economy ending, maybe. Okay, I don't want to exaggerate. There's plenty of world-enders out there. Sorry, didn't mean to tread on your turf, world-enders. It's just, we don't have to. We can stop, maybe, and say, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's not all doom and gloom. And again, this is more than a little important to investing. It's the reason you invest, that there is a future. You believe that there is a future. Maybe not the best future, maybe not all sunshine and roses, but a future. A future that continues to be more abundant for more people. I don't know if it's frustration. I don't think it is. It's just like sad. Just sad to think that people think that the world is a far worse place. They live in that, who's me? Eeyore, you know? I know, sun shines down now, but there's a cloud and it'll come on over my head. I know. It's okay. I know I'm taking all these medicines and living better. I know my pain is gone compared to what it was. But woe is me, woe is me. Nobody wants to be like that. And you're not going to invest if you're like that. So it's not looking at the world in some weird, phony way. It's trying as a human being to see the world as it is when we're so wired to be negative. And all of our inputs are negative. And they are. It's unbelievable how much news is just, and it's all bad. All the time. And if you happen to have a good news story, you are just not being responsible if you don't put in all the caveats, right? You have to. Yeah, but this report was good, but analysts are worried about whatever. That is what goes for thoughtful analysis. Not, of course, stating that the news is bad, but analysts believe it'll get better. No, we don't need that part of the analysis. That's unimportant. But if something's good, we need to talk about why it would be bad. It's difficult. I know. It's very difficult. All right, our number is 580-543-6, 580-KIDO. Perhaps you have a comment, a thought, some of the news that you've heard that is just reported, well, inaccurately. Or you just want to talk about the markets and what's going on. That's fine, too. That's what we're here for. It's 580-5436. The email address live is dave@petsofinancial, P-E-T-S-O, financial.net. And we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hey, 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Dave@petsofinancial.net. I'll be getting to an email here in a moment. This is, you know, one of those things that I one of these little tidbits I love, and so I've kind of kept it around. You know that a five-year-old asks 100 questions a day. 100 questions a day. Now, I know because I had the good fortune of being a dad, too. So when, you know, my little kids and I'm looking forward to being a grandpa. I mean, I am a grandpa, but I mean, you know, to the five-year-old stage, right? She's 5 months now. But 100 questions a day. I know it kind of wears you out, but it also, how exciting to think that the world is that exciting to somebody, right? I mean, we talk about living our lives through the eyes of a child. And isn't that what that is, right? So 100 questions a day. Wow. That's so cool. That is so cool to think of the world as, I want to know about that too. I mean, don't we find people who are interested? We find them interesting. They're interested, of course, in other people. That's really super awesome. But they're also interested in all the things around them. They're just fascinated by the world. Fascinated by it. 100 questions a day from a five-year-old. You know what a 40-year-old asks? 3 or 4. That's See, you know, we talk about this. The older you get, the less you know, right? You know, you start to understand that you don't know very much. Right? We say that. But why aren't we asking the questions anymore? Why don't we ask those questions? I don't know. It's a good question. Because I love people that are fascinated. Don't you? We all do, right? We need to be fascinated. We need to ask those questions, right? And so that brings up that, right? So ask your questions. 580-5436, 580-KIDO is our number. And with that, we've got Jim. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Morning. How's it going?
Good. Good, sir.
Yeah, let's talk simplicity.
All right.
Enough finance. Let's talk senses. You know, you hit on a subject and about, well, when you're young and you find life exciting.
Yeah.
For instance, I'll take my brother. Now, my brother had a good job for a long time. He's retired. But if all he does is watch programs on Hitler's bodyguard, And then he'll claim he's interested in history, and he'll drink, you know. Now, I am interested in the senses. There are five senses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, most people these days are maybe visual, because most of them are hooked up to a television monitor. I have always been interested in audio, you know, having been in band. I love good stereo music. I mean, that really turns me on.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't turn very many people on. Okay, touch. I'm a sensual person. I'm probably the only person in the world that just loves a fly walking over my skin. I mean, it feels good. When I was a kid and sitting in church, you know, my grandmother, you know, of course, you know, I'm bored to tears and afraid of hell and damnation, but my grandmother would run her fingernails over my leg, and,
mm-hmm.
man, I'd purr like a kitten, you know. And then there's the smell and taste and, you know, just simple senses. How many people appreciate their senses?
That's a great question and a really great point. Now, or all of them, right? I mean, we can all appreciate the touch, especially the touch of a loved one, a lover. That you can really be in that moment, right? With that,
yeah.
like you remember your grandma.
And
right?
I love hot tubs. Hot tubs feel great.
Right.
You know, I love water. You know, but most people, they see the sense of touch seems to elude them. They just don't value it whatsoever. I mean, they use it for if they touch a hot burner to find it's hot, but other than that,
yeah. No, I think I agree with you. I think that that's a very interesting point, Jim. I really do, that you just stop. And I remember actually this past week, and this is something that I do on purpose, and I believe that we have to be intentional. I certainly think all of us have to be intentional. And what I mean by that is that you more intentionally or more naturally are aware of your senses. I think that all of us could stop and go, wait a minute, this is awesome. Just relax and enjoy the water, the hot tub. Enjoy the touch. Enjoy the smells. Just stop and enjoy them instead of rushing to the next thing. And we have to be intentional to that.
And it's also the sun. We've been taught, we've been propagandized that the sun is our enemy. You go out and you get a sun ray and you'll get cancer. I mean, I love the heat of the sun on my skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably the only guy. I'm one of the very few guys that rides my bicycle around this place without a shirt on, you know. And we're so Puritan around this burg, you know. But you know, I mean, just enjoy the.
Hey, Jim, if you got it, you flaunt it. Go ahead. That's all right.
I flaunt it. Yeah. Yeah, most they think I should be in my backyard and sealed up and stuff, you know.
Wall you off, that's right.
But anyway, I mean, that, you know, I just, whatever, just enjoy simple things, and most people elude them. And if you can find, as you get older, an interest in life, because you've done, you know, day by day, you've done the same thing kind of, you know, and life kind of loses its excitement. So you need to find something new and whatever to keep it exciting.
I agree. I think that's just an excellent point, really. And be interested. Be interested in the world. I think that that's – and if we're intentional in that, we do notice things. We do feel things. We do sense them.
And also, even though we've got the Internet that's full of knowledge and all this stuff, don't give up reading. Reading. I love reading. I still read books all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. And go for a hike.
Right.
I mean, seriously, it's amazing how beautiful the world is. I was fortunate this past week. I was in Denver for a meeting, and I took an extra day and went up to the real near. Actually, it was road construction, so I couldn't quite get through the Rocky Mountain Park, but just went there and then took a hike, and it's still so vivid in my head. I mean, it's so big. It's everything's so big, so beautiful. It's amazing, and I think you take the time away. Phone's not ringing. There's no distractions, and you're just there communing with nature, with God, and it's just a wonderful experience.
Yep. I've never had a cell phone. Don't expect to. But I also ride my bicycle pretty much everywhere, and that gives me exercise and, you know. Because it's really weird. I mean, it's almost like we feel like we're digressing, because when you're a kid, you ride a bicycle. you know. And it's almost like an infantile thing to ride a bicycle as an adult, which is asinine, but, you know, that's what how people think.
Well, and we need to ask 100 questions a day like like kids do.
Yep.
All right, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Sir.
All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-543-6, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back after Fox News. Please do ring us up.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. You know, it is interesting. It's we've been talking about flipping the news over and looking at it the other way, the other side of it. And it's so many things. It just continues as I'm thinking today and thinking out loud with you. I recognize you need to strap in. That is very dangerous when I'm thinking out loud. It gets me in trouble sometimes. But when we're talking about the news and we're thinking about this and we just keep kind of coming across things, how about stuff like, you know, when the Fed raises interest rates, everything's doom and gloom. It's like it's over. You know, real estate's going to collapse. The economy is going to collapse. And the stock market, of course, well, we all know, you know, it's like a giant casino that hardly anybody in all of history has ever won. So, it's going to collapse. It's a foregone conclusion, the collapse of the stock market. My whole life has been a foregone conclusion that the market will collapse. And we're all still, of course, waiting. But the good news is we're waiting patiently with millions of dollars in bank accounts. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the way the market works. But it's all doom and gloom all of the time. And as we think about that and we think about all of the news about interest rates, you know, the real truth of that is this. When interest rates rise, it will be because the economy is more self-sustaining. It's doing better. It's stronger. It's capable of standing on its own two feet. It's not bad news. It's 100% good news. Should just shut up. And that really is the reality. But that can't be the reality because, gosh, then we would just stop watching because we wouldn't be terrified, big-eyed, watching them run around with their hair on fire. Unbelievable. Really, it is unbelievable. Some of the news is completely backwards. Completely. All right. Email question, and the emails are Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, P-E-T-S-O, not the sauce, P-E-T-S-O, financial.net. And also, want your phone calls here, Dave, and that's 580-5436. Dave, what is your opinion regarding the use of high-yield bond funds and their dividends for monthly income during retirement? Also, is there any difference in how high-yield bonds and bond funds react when interest rates rise or fall compared to government bonds? Dennis, thank you. Great question, and I really appreciate you asking that. Now, high-yield bond funds can be used at times, and they can be used in a big way, okay? Now, I would only use high-yield bond funds. Do not use the ETFs. I don't think that makes any sense under the sun. They're traded too actively. They're overbought and oversold all the time. You have to be careful with them because it's such a small basket that when people make a move into the sector, they're only buying those bonds, okay? So I think that that's a very poor way of doing it. And an even more even poorer way of doing it would be buying your own individual high-priced bonds. There's no diversification, no ongoing professional management. Just don't do that. Don't do that. Don't buy individual corporate bonds. Don't do it. Makes no sense. None. Things change. Nobody's watching. So if you're going to do bonds, do bond funds. Okay? Simple. Now, do we want to use them for dividends for monthly income? Not as a standalone. Not at all. And I don't just mean diversify amongst different bond types. I don't really necessarily believe that either. I don't think you need to have to be buying much or any government bonds today at 2.2%. To me, that just doesn't make any sense. I don't want to load up the boat on 10-year
government bonds because I have some kind of set asset allocation. Makes no sense. I already am going to lose on that money. That's not a bet on interest rates. That's a fact. I can't keep up with inflation. How am I going to possibly be drawing income? So there are times, but we have to be careful with them. You have to know what the spreads are over treasuries. There has to be a margin of safety there. The price, I get concerned about price because price always comes back to if the bond makes it, and not all high-yield bonds do make it, and if it does mature, if it matures at 100, called par. I don't want to buy bonds at 105 and pretend I have a coupon that yields 7. I don't, because it's 7 minus the 5 by the time of maturity. So we have to know what the real yield is. I prefer to not own premium bonds and pretend that my income stream is secure. It will go down, and the bond and my net asset value will go down if I buy premium bonds. So where are we at right now? So let me digress this, and then I'll come back to the final questions. Where are we at now in high-yield corporates? Pretty fully priced. Some of them are overpriced. So be careful. Find careful managers. I think you need to not stretch for yield in this marketplace at all. Except the fact that you're going to get 5, 5.5. If you're over 6, I'd get concerned about the manager and stretch for yield, meaning going for lower quality. I'd be very concerned. I don't think it's going to collapse, and I don't think they're terribly, horribly overpriced collectively. But I think you have to be cautious here. So using them for income during retirement, a small piece today is what I would use there. Okay? There are times we have loaded up the boat, whether you're an equity investor or not. And the reason why is when you get big stretches out, a big stretch in that spread between treasuries, it can be very, very profitable to play. Okay? Now, I need to run to a break, so what I want to do is just quickly touch on this. They do move very different. The other question is, is there a difference between how high-yield bonds react when interest rates rise or fall compared to government bonds? Absolutely. They're less sensitive to interest rates than government bonds. Government bonds have no credit risk. They are going to get paid. Their risk is interest rates. Interest rate risk. Interest rates move. Which is also really, you know, I know other people, I can hear them out there going, it's really inflation risk. I got it. It is inflation risk. You're right. There is real inflation risk. Can you keep up with inflation? That's the point. But when you have a credit risk layered on top of that, then that also adds as a buffer because there is an additional yield there in the spread. So it doesn't move just with interest rates. It moves also with economic conditions and corporate-specific conditions. And they say, wow, there's a lot of risks to it. Absolutely. But also those risks help mitigate the one risk that everybody focuses on, and that's interest rates. It's less interest rate sensitive. Okay? And thank you so much. Great question. And if I did not clear up those questions, call me back. Write me back. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, and our phone number, and I would love to hear from you, is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Do want and need your phone calls, so do ring us up. In the meantime, while we're waiting on a caller, I have an email here. Do you think a person with a good retirement nest egg, say $1 million or $1.5 million, should take their income from dividends and interest only on their investments, or should they also harvest capital gains? If they harvest capital gains as a source of income, then how do they make up for this income in years when the market has a downturn, such as 2007? Just interested in your thought, as you seem to have it pretty much together, Mike. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. I giggle a little bit because I have it pretty much together. I'm not sure that everybody agrees with that, but at any rate, I do think that on the retirement income side, we have a pretty good grasp of that, no question. Now, is a million or a million and a half enough to only draw income? Maybe, but it's more difficult as interest rates are low. Is it if you eat into the capital gains, and although 2007 was an up year, I know what you meant. You meant 2008. But when we look at that time frame, it was difficult. And that's where the reservoirs have to come into place, meaning if you really are able to live off of only the dividends, and you can construct a portfolio to get over 3%, really, and still have growth of those dividends. You can construct a portfolio to do that. But you have to be careful to not stretch for yield. High-yielding stocks tend to be the most dangerous. They really do. They're the ones that cut their dividends and their stocks collapse, or they go out of business. It's, you know, there is no company out there paying 10% that doesn't have extreme risk to that 10%, one way or another. If you don't understand what that is, then you better stay away. So we don't want to stretch for yield. We want growth of income. But let's suppose you could get by on $30,000 a year in addition to Social Security or what have you, then absolutely just live off the dividends, and the dividends will naturally increase over the years. They have our whole lives. You know, I've done this many, many, many times, so I'm not going to digress right now and run through the story of the dividends over the decades. It's just it's an unreal story. And we'll come back to that in our basics series as well. No doubt about that. We'll keep coming back to that because that's the key to me of understanding and fighting this idea that the stock market is somehow this game that needs to be played in the up and down. I need to catch the ups and downs. I need to harvest gains at just the right time. You do not. You can buy and hold and collect a rising stream of income. That's the real story, okay? Now, can we do this? What if you need a little bit more? And the answer is most people do want a little bit more or need more. Now, we get in that want-need. So here's the other point of that, okay? What if you just decided that only in good years would you take some mad money out? That would be an interesting way of protecting your capital, wouldn't it? So even though it rises over time, only in a good year would you say we get to take another, say, $20,000 out and travel the world. That's an interesting way that some people will have that flexible account. Like, yeah, we're not going to do it in the years when the market's down. We'll leave our capital in and just live off the interest and income. Now, when interest rates are higher, then, Mike, I do think that it's easier to have a piece that's generating, you know, from a bond perspective, generating a reasonable return, and that you might be able to get yourself closer to that 4% draw rate if interest rates were higher. But in today's world, they're not, and I think you really do. It's fine to dip into capital. We believe you can. It certainly has been done historically, and we've been doing it now for 30 years, where dipping into capital, even in bad markets, is not death. As long as you have the reservoirs, meaning cash or cash-like things that are not moving as much as the market. Because if you're right, if you sell down to provide income, it can be a devastating, actually, it can be a death spiral, okay? So the answer is, would love it if instead of having a million and a half and drawing, you know, 30 or 40,000 a year, if you really wanted 60, then let's get that number to 2 to 2.5 million, right? But if people are there and want to enjoy it, then the answer is, I believe, if done correctly, and correctly does not, underlining, highlighting, capitalization does not mean market timing. Doing it right is simply a process of harvesting when gains come, rebalancing regularly, paying attention. And paying attention, again, is not guessing which area of the market is going to do well and getting in and out and reading too much news and thinking that you should run to the sidelines right now. That's not going to work. But you can draw 5%, in our opinion, 5%, with a 3% cost of living increase, and never run out, no matter how long you live. Now, that allows people two things. Is it better to just draw income? Possibly.
But what we want to do is we want to draw a maximum lifestyle, don't we? Don't we? Hey, Ronaldo, what do I got? Now? I got to get out of here, don't I? All right, we're going to be back, and we're going to talk basics in the next hour.
Practice squad party of the year. Corwin Ford presents Taste of Country Fan Jam. Friday, September 11th at the Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater featuring Big and Rich. Get ready for a night of incredible entertainment as the best party band in the country returns to rock the Cheekies main stage with special guest Eli Young Band. Logan Mize and Chase Bryant. Tickets on sale now at ictickets.com. Don't miss the party, vendor booths, and a very special tribute to the men and women serving in our military. The Taste of Country Fan Jam is back. Friday, September 11th at the Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater. Presented by Corwin Ford. Brought to you in part by your 9 area Taco Time restaurant. 8 Feathers.
Hello and welcome to hour number 2 of Money Matters. And of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. It's not the station's. It's not my broker-dealer. These are my opinions. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell. And probably you know, I think that that's utter nonsense. It's stupidity. It's not only a waste of time, it's directionally incorrect. We have a shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter time frame in a world of such abundance, in a world of longer, healthier lives, and our time frames are shorter and shorter. Makes no sense. So we approach retirement that could be 30, 40, 50 years. And we're driven to think in terms of, well, I wonder if I should be buying and selling this. Nonsense.
Yeah.
And putting particular focus and energy on, you know, getting on blogs and finding out what could go wrong. And I'm sure, you know, great people like Paul, what's his name? Ron Paul. And his new buddies over at Stansbury can walk around and high-five people every night. You know, hey, scared a bunch of old people. Ha-ha! Made another couple of bucks. Ring the bell. Ding, 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 ding. Yep. Scaring those folks from being financially prosperous in order to sell products. Newsletters. The latest Doomsday Report. And when we focus on that instead of the long term, it's dead wrong, and I want to focus on that today in our education segment. It's wrong. It's backwards. And all this constant inflow of data leads us further away from the truth. Always. Further away. We think we're getting smarter, we're getting dumber. We're getting more scared. We're driven to, you can listen a couple hours from now, there's a program on and tell you all about the big market casino and how you can avoid it, but you can get market returns with no risk. And we're driven to believe or want to believe lies. And if you think that the insurance laws protect you against it, they don't. They don't. Now, I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic, as a matter of fact, because there is a new commissioner in Idaho, the Department of Insurance. I'm hopeful. Because the impotence is unbelievable there. The lack of caring is just, it's off the charts. They just don't care. They don't care how many old people are stolen from. They don't care. They don't investigate. They won't even look. It's just, it's terrible. And I believe that that will change. It can't be worse. But we have to be aware that if our emotions are always, it's all terrible, it's all bad, it's all horrible, it's going to get worse, and we all get scared, then we look in the wrong places for solutions. And we buy high commission, very expensive products you can't get out of. under promises that we know in our heart are wrong. We know that can't be true. But we want to believe it so much. So how do we invest and overcome fear? How do we do it? How do we do it? So you know what? I talked about this, and I really wanted to get back to some of the basics in our education segment, right? I really want to talk about that stuff. And so last week we talked about just taking the normal little, just took a step back and said, well, how do stocks do? How do they do over long periods of time? And how we all want that big mountain chart, right? We see it. Picture it. Just close your eyes. You know what I'm talking about. That, you know, I put $10,000 in, and then over the years it becomes a gazillion dollars, right? You know, it's like 1.8 million. And it gives, oh, no, wait. No, it's 3.5 million. A few years later, always bottom on the left, way, way up. And then you've seen those charts before, right, where they list, like, you know, this is when Watergate happened. This is when Kennedy was assassinated. All those things, right? So how do we overcome fear of investing? I think sometimes it just helps to look at that history, and to understand that regardless of what the news is, there's been terrible things that have happened in the past. So let's see how the market reacts to those terrible things. What happens after Pearl Harbor is bombed? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I know it all ended good. We dropped a bomb, and they all went away, and a few people died. Yeah, okay, you know, a few millions of people died. The world was destroyed, but, you know, we rebuilt. It's all ancient history. Hardly anything bad happened. But can you imagine how people felt at the time, how scared they were? Who could invest? And if you did, 10 years later, it was worth 13% a year, 13.3. And the long-term return, all the way to the end of 2013, was over 12% a year. Nothing comes close. So you say, well, and what about all the doom and gloom between then and now? The 2000 through 02, whack the market in half. 1973 and 4, whack the market in half. 1987, market crash, down 22% in a day. Whack. We had minor crashes, mini crashes in 1980. We had a president that was going to be impeached, so he resigned. 12%. Oh, that, you know, financial collapse. Yeah, that's in there. That's in there. I know nobody thinks about this, but when you talk to money managers, and there's not many around anymore, when you talk to people that invested money back in the 60s, the 50s, when the Soviets launched Sputnik, that was scary. How about the Cuban Missile Crisis? And you look up in the sky and you see something that you can't do, your nation can't do, spinning over top. Yeah, because you can see the satellite. And a nation has vowed your destruction. Yeah, I'm sure everybody scraped their nickels together because they'd want to invest in a time like that. And 10 years later, it's up 14.3%. The Berlin Wall, 10 years later, up 8.8%. President Nixon resigns, up 15.0% 10 years later. The Dow drops 22% in a day. 16% per year compounded returns 10 years later. The Gulf War, the one that if we drop bombs in that with shallow oil reserves, the whole world would be engulfed in a giant black cloud. And we would have an ice age upon us. Or was it, I'm sorry, no, just call it climate change, because we, when I was growing up, it was going to be an ice age, and now it's going to be now we're boiling to death. It's just anything. If there's a tornado somewhere, it's climate change, and man caused it. So that didn't happen somehow, and they dropped the bombs, and it didn't blow up, and it's 15.4% when the trade towers went down. The trade towers went down. He still didn't lose money, even though we had another 50% correction after that one within 10 years. You still make 2.4% per year. And by now, it's over 7. Over 7. I don't know how to completely get over fear day to day, unless you turn off the TV somewhat, unless you study the back, you look at all the things that have gone wrong, but in spite of that, we reinvent ourselves, we recreate, we have creative destruction. The corporations that don't cut it, go away. The new ones come up. Nobody thought 20 years ago that the dominant stock in the world would be Apple. 20 years ago, Google didn't exist. Enron and WorldCom, poof, gone. I don't mean that as scary. I don't know why people look at that as scary. Why is it scary that companies go away? You see, in spite of companies going away, the market has done 10 a year. Nothing else comes close. Nothing remotely close. We talked about that last week. I'm not going to go through the same numbers again. It's off the charts different. It's not even on the same planet different. The returns are so much higher in spite of the fact that companies go away. So I'm not sure why people put so much risk on that. Like you're going to put all your money in one company. Why would you do that? Everybody knows you're not supposed to do that. You don't have to be an investment expert to know that. And we'll talk about diversification and proper diversification, what it really looks like in an upcoming Back to Basics. But suffice to say, you're not going to be in one. To me, this is the good news. It's not the bad news. Well, if you invest in stocks, some of them will go away. Yes! Yay! Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? Isn't it stunning that they can go away and you can still make way more money than anything else? That's the story. Not, they could go away. Yes, isn't that wonderful? Creative destruction is beautiful. 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 That's the big story. In spite of all of the bad, the market's a great place to be. Always has. Always has been. And unless you're willing to make the big bet that it's all over, and it's all over now, and finally now, and that's a big bet to me. Because it's never been true. The first and only time. This is it. And it won't bounce back. That's how. But I don't know any other way to get you past the fear. Unless I walk in your house and shut down all of your electronics. And tell you, you can't watch. Don't go to a bar. Because during the sports event you're watching, they could have a ticker across the bottom talking about how many people were killed doing this or that or this or that. I got it. The world's not perfect. But unless we educate ourselves to how resilient the market is, I don't know how to overcome that fear. And if you don't overcome fear, you get caught up in thinking you can time the market, or you get caught in products like you'll hear about in a couple hours from now. Expensive, high commission, promises, guarantees, things like that that people run to. And you can't win when you play that game. You can't win. So if we educate ourselves to what the resilience of the market is, how it comes back, study the charts, look at the mountain charts, look at all the bad things that have happened, contemplate history a little bit. A little bit. Then you can also, and then when you stop, and how else do you do it? You read. You read the John Templeton anything. Anything he's wrote. Even the quotes, and just sit and think about his quotes. And you think about Warren Buffett. You know, and his favorite holding period is forever. The biggest danger is to be out of the market, not in it. Think about that. The greatest danger is to be out, not in. Now, we all know in our industry, we understand that because you get trapped out. You're like, oh, no. You know, as soon as the market pulls back, and it doesn't pull back. Or if it does pull back, then it looks really crappy and your shirt's going to go down even more. And then, boom, it bounces out of nowhere and then you're out again. You're still out. Being out's dangerous. Wrong. Don't do that. It's going to the dark side. Read. Read wisdom. Not noise. Turn off the noise. Get off of Stansbury whatever nonsense. Doesn't matter what they're writing. It's nonsense. It's all geared to sell you doomsday stuff, whether it's a chunk of gold, pet rock, or it's their newsletter, or it'll be pimping some annuity, some equity indexed annuity, promising you market returns with no risk. All pimping negative stuff. To you. Why do you read that? Do you like to be depressed? Do you like to be driven away from investing? Do you like to be driven out of a peaceful place? Because they're always there. They're always there. Always have been. It was Howard Ruff when I started in the business. It's always doomsday. Always doomsday, people. And the market's resilient. That's how we learn. We study it, we look at it, we stop, and we have thought. We don't just assume things. We don't just listen. We think. We listen, we contemplate, we study. Markets are resilient. No matter who's in the White House, no matter what the Federal Reserve does, no matter what's going on in Greece, Japan, or China. Where's it China? Are we supposed to worry? We're worried about China. Are we worried about China? How are we worried? They own us. No, they don't own us. No, they might implode. Oh, we're worried about their economy. Oh, my gosh. What about the... I thought that was Japan. We could only be more like them. We can't keep up, and I don't know what's going to... It's all resilient. Always. What about the banana republics that aren't anymore, and are they going to be again? I don't know. It's all back and forth. But the great corporations of the world reinvent themselves and recreate themselves. Some die. Some come up out of the ashes to become monsters out of nowhere. It's beautiful. Magic. Magic returns. And you don't have to guess which ones are going to be successful. You don't have to find one or two. And you don't have to find them that early either. They can still be big companies, and they still roll. It's amazing. I don't know how to get over fear, except just stop it. Stop it, like we were talking about before. Right? Talked about last week, 2 weeks ago. Stop it. Stop reading garbage. Stop it. Well, I'm always feeling like... Then stop it. Well, I'm always worried about the fact... Then stop it. Just stop it. If it's not working for you, stop it. Well, I always feel like, then quit reading it. Quit watching it. Quit letting it sit inside of you. Stop it. Stop it. And just look and listen to the wisdom. There's some of it out there, but you're not going to catch it on that little box on the wall. There is no wisdom there. It's noise. The wisdom comes in the contemplation, in the readings, from great long-term investors. And I know of no other way to extinguish fear and to pick up a good book written by wise investors, long-term oriented thinkers, and for you to take a look and look at the history of the markets. The Cuban Missile Crisis, that was scary. Really scary. Vietnam War. Double-digit unemployment, double-digit inflation. You remember when New York City was bankrupt? Remember that? And lining up for gas? Historic footnote. I know. It just goes on. And when you think about it and how resilient, I think it helps. All right, hopefully that helps a little bit. And next week we're going to talk more. And again, if you have any other thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. That's dave@petzofinancial.net. I need to take a break. Hey, Jim, I know you rang up. Please ring us again. Jim from, I think it was Star, was trying to call in. I'll take you right off if you'll bring us back. But right now, our board is empty. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 5 Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Please do give us a call. Love to hear from you. And what's on your mind, not what's on my mind. Now, I have an email here from Mike. Hello, Dave. Is the impending default of Puerto Rico of any concern, or is it even less significant than Greece? Mike, thank you. Great question. I don't know. Obviously, we don't fully know what the ramifications are if there is a full-blown default. Now, will there be some kind of default? Will there be some restructuring? I think clearly there has to be. That situation is horrible in Puerto Rico. And the fact that we let it go that long is the absurdity of bankers. It's the absurdity of quotes, the thought that there's government guarantees or associated promises, if you will. Not guarantees, but some, don't worry, they'll be there to support. And so even though they are a territory of the United States, they, just like any state, they're responsible to pay their own bills. So it is interesting how this is going to come about. But I think a lot of the losses have already been incurred, and that is the municipal bonds have really gone down tremendously in value. I think it's still a stay away, don't touch situation. I don't know how you can, but I don't see if it's it being of any more concern than Greece. I don't think it's any more significant because it is part of the United States. It's not. We can certainly afford it. It's affordable to help or to be able to absorb the billions and billions and billions of dollars of losses that have been absorbed by investors. It's unfortunate. I wish that companies like UBS, which has really been at the forefront of the problems there. There's other companies out there, but they have been big time in the news. But they're going to pay their billions of dollars worth of fines for mismarketing them, not disclosing the risks and things like that. So there's going to be a lot of money lost, most of it by investment bankers. So I think that it's too bad that there'll be some investors that have lost money, but it is certainly not going to be a crisis for us in the United States. But a very, very good question, and one that we all should be keeping our eyes on, and that is because it really doesn't seem to make the news much, does it? The Puerto Rican bond situation is partly there, but it's really just we don't know what's going to happen yet. So watch it, keep an eye on it, but I don't see it causing any particular problems. Now, I will comment one further bit to that I think politicians have to be careful with, and that is how we treat Puerto Rico is really, in my opinion, going to be how places like Illinois, California, and others that are so indebted
are going to end up getting treated too, or want to be treated. Who doesn't want free money? Well, if the devil's giving you free money, and the federal government is the devil, in my opinion, because it is, it just draws you in. It sucks you in. You will wish you never got in bed with them. The free money is nice, but I do believe in the long run, it will be an incredibly bad thing for us to have even more central control. I know that's what the progressives want, but I honestly don't know what they want. They don't, because they don't understand, obviously, that no central planning, no nation has ever done well at central planning. It doesn't work. The ever-loving hand of government will smack you down, always and forever, no matter how much the progressives think that somehow maybe they have a new way of doing it. I don't get it. But we don't want that. And so I think we need to watch what happens in Puerto Rico from that standpoint, because it could be modeled or used by progressives to say, hey, oh, no, let's bail out this nice little liberal bastion that overspent the money. Why would they want to reform their pension funds when we can just print money for them? Well, they won't. They won't. Ask Greece how that works, right? If you don't, reform. If you're not forced to, you just keep coming back until somebody says no. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Mike, thank you for the email. And it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's take a break for Fox News. And when we come back, please do ring us up. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number, and that really is your cue to ring us up. So do ring us up if you prefer emails, and the board is empty. If you prefer emails, that's fine. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. P-E-T-S-O, not the sauce. dave@petsofinancial.net. All right, so, you know, it's, again, very interesting to me to see how, if you will, how big companies, big, I should say, not necessarily big, but how dominant right now the market is in a few names, right? There's just a few. And it's become the buzzword. I mean, you can't stop, people won't stop talking about the fact that the NASDAQ's gains are only in four stocks, right? Google, Apple, Netflix, and somebody else. And they won't stop talking about it. You know, you take those away and nothing else is moving. I know. Everybody knows that. I mean, really, this is that flat year. And you know what? A few months ago, there was a couple different companies in there, too. Google wasn't moving, right? So it's a rotation. It's a very narrow rotation. And then, of course, technicians say it's so narrow, it's so terrible, you know, that's no good at all. I get that. Totally get that. But there are times when the market must rest. There are times when the market's trying to take a pause. Sometimes we call those corrections. Sometimes the markets move down. And that's, in my opinion, what we're doing now is just kind of this little churning going, so one sector gets blown up. I mean, it's a decent enough sized sector to say the energy sector has been cut more than in half. And there's also other companies in that. And that, okay, so that's not a correction. That's a full-blown bear market in that sector. And, you know, the bull market that's raging in biotech and healthcare is offsetting that. But it's not enough to make the market go, wow, everything else is so good. Things are always in and out of favor. I don't think we want to overreact to that. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for calling back. Go ahead, please.
Hello there, Dave. Let's talk finance.
All right.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the four heavyweights in the NASDAQ.
Yes.
And Google and the other three.
Yes.
Apple. Well, anyway, I was watching PBS Business Report the other day, and the earnings reports were coming in and all that stuff, you know. And anyway, the guy mentioned Google, that they that the valuations were good. And then, you know, he was asked, okay, how what do you think about the valuations of the other three? And the guy came back with, well, I think they are somewhat reasonable. Now, I don't know about you, but saying somewhat reasonable wouldn't give me any confidence.
No, I thought, what the heck does that mean?
I don't know.
That's a non-answer. They're somewhat reasonable.
That's
a Bill Clinton is definition.
I know. It's what do you mean somewhat? Now, granted, finance isn't, you know, black and white, but, you know, you need something more than, well, somewhat, you know, shit, I mean, it could go either way, you know, whatever.
Yeah, my opinion is the market will fluctuate. Thank you. That's not an opinion. Yeah, good point.
One other thing I was going to mention, you know, about the Chinese stock market, they featured this one guy, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot more of them. But anyway, this one guy was advised to invest in one stock and then advised to get on margin and lost his ass.
Yep.
You know, was totally wiped out. So anyway, I mean, he just did all the basics wrong. You know, this one other guy I remember said, he called into there's a show that follows you on the other station, and it's about mutual funds.
Okay.
And these guys have their act together. I mean, you know, they're also railing against, you know, the guy that comes on in 2 hours.
Oh.
So this one guy called in, and he said, I made one good mistake and one bad mistake. And then he said the good mistake was I got out right before the market crashed in 2008. And the bad mistake was I haven't gotten back in.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm thinking, well, the bad mistake overrides the good mistake.
Every day. That's right. That's why it's too dangerous to be out, right?
Right.
It is. Yeah, great point. Glad you told us that. That's good.
Do it with me. Take care.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Gary, please hold tight. Got to take a quick break, and when we come back, you'll be right up to bat. And we do have a clear board after that. So 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks again for joining us. If you have any comments, questions, you can certainly shoot those over to our website. It's petsofinancial.com, P-E-T-S-O-financial.com. Also has articles, calculators to help you with your financial planning. And we've got a link to all of the podcasts as well. So for if you missed a show and you want to catch something in particular, yeah, there's lots of them there, and I know it's very widely used. So anyway. Enjoy. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to very patient Gary in Meridian. Gary, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dave.
Hi there.
I was calling regard to, I've been a little bit intrigued with some of the electric cars.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you had any insight into what some of them were doing. Tesla, for one, it's probably one of the better known.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, the others are all by the major manufacturers that I know of. Are there independent other independents besides Tesla?
I think there may be, but I think most of them are majors.
Privately held.
GM is getting into that.
Yes.
To a greater extent. Nissan has done a lot with it.
Yes, yes. And Ford has too, of course. I mean, they are. And I think that's probably, in the long run, the greatest danger to Tesla. Now, Tesla could reinvent itself into, in a sense, into a battery company. In other words, providing the batteries for everybody. Okay, that appears to be where their big technology edge is. Now, will it remain there? I don't know, Gary. I do know this. Tesla is, on any metrics, ridiculously priced. It's totally a cult stock. And I don't mean that as a putting people down that own it. What I'm saying is you can't own the stock on any metrics except you love Tesla. That's it. You love it, and you're sure it's going to dominate the world and continue to dominate the world, because based on where the stock is and the number of cars and how much they have to spend in order to build out the infrastructure to build enough cars to make money, the company won't make money for years and years and years. But it trades for infinity times earnings because there are no earnings, net of all the expenses. So they have to probably raise more money down the road. You know, these are real fundamental problems with the fact that they make an amazing car. So I always look back and say, you know, the automobile is a huge thing. The computer is rather a large thing in our life. But the people that invented the computer, they don't exist anymore. Dell didn't invent the computer. Apple didn't invent the computer. Right? So when we look at that, it's not necessarily the first mover in anything. And so be careful with the Teslas of the world, and I don't know of any other direct plays. And as far as the automobile makers go, that's a highly competitive area, and I think it's rare that you should ever be buying airlines or automobile manufacturers. And I say rare because I think probably with today's energy prices and the profitability of airlines, you might be able to own them now. But historically, that has been a very good thing to stay away from, except for Southwest Airlines.
Okay, I appreciate the information, Dave.
Gary, great question. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Again, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that Elon Musk is clearly, a genius and willing to throw deep and take enormous risks, all those things that make for pioneering a whole new area, like space as well, which, of course, he did. But the reality is Tesla can't exist without the tax breaks, wouldn't have gotten going. And they sell, you know, a car that costs $125,000, just making this up, or rounding it off. They can sell it for less than 100 only because of tax credits. So, you know, these are the kind of things that can't be sustained. You can't just tax break yourself into success. It's not possible. All right, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, this is our final break. And so there's plenty of time to take your calls at 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Dave Pezzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome back. Final segment upcoming. Let's see if we can get these calls in, shall we? Let's go to Gregory in Boise. Gregory, thanks for calling.
All right, yeah. I wish I hadn't taken so long to formulate my question. I wanted to pop in a couple things about quantum physics and quantum mechanics, how everything is interrelated, and I think you kind of get that on an instinctual level. But what I'm going to ask you, I don't know anything about mutual funds. Is there a type of mutual fund? It seems like our militaries are going into, well, I want to say robotics, but not necessarily robotics, mm-hmm. but, you know, unmanned
AI. Artificial intelligence, I think, is where we're leading.
Well, not only that, you know, land-based stuff, that also would include stuff in off the planet, you know, satellites and stuff. Are there mutual funds where I could, like, maybe invest in that type of industry or industries?
You know, what you're going to be looking at there is going to be a technology-based fund. But, of course, it's going to have your Apple, Google, and all the others in there. But as these industries evolve, okay, for example, 3D printing, early on we all knew about it, knew that this was going to be unbelievable, because it is unbelievable. It's ridiculous. But you now have what are called ETFs, exchange-traded funds, that are available that only have those in there, okay? So you get a package of that. But you don't have a package right now of new tech, brand new technology, so what you do is you watch for that, and most of that is occurring actually in the Googles and Apples and things like that, where they're working within, or IBM, that, you know, they have, I know IBM's falling all over itself and can't get anything right, but one thing they've got that's amazing, of course, is Watson and its computing ability, and we're starting to see some commercials, so they're trying to get some commercial usage from Watson, this supercomputer. And I think that that will be the case for them. But you have to watch within that industry right now. There's no specific mutual funds. What you're looking for are cutting-edge new economy or new types of, that are investing in these new and innovative companies. But that's going to be part of a tech or new economy type of fund.
But you and your people, you could do that. You could do the watching and the...
Well, the answer is yes and no, Gregory. That's a great question. I mean, can you really like get that or get that from an organization? And the answer is yes and no. You should never be only in one space, right? There's nothing wrong with all of the broad technology as well. But what you want to do and broadly diversify, but through that, you're going to be wanting to find organizations that are, let's say they're based in Silicon Valley and things like that, where they're going to be constantly in touch with that type of thing. So you're going to want to have mutual fund managers that are there, that are all over the world and in all kinds of different investments. So the answer is, it's not just science fiction. Good.
I should probably just keep my eyes open on popular mechanics, popular science, stuff like that.
Well, you do. Absolutely. But again, remember, first runner. Gregory, first runner does not mean financial success. Okay?
Right.
That's the hard thing for people. The people that invented the automobile, the people that invented the computer, telephone, all those things. Everything is it's sometimes the second and third round that makes all the money. So be careful with that.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Okay, thank you.
Gregory, thank you. Appreciate your call. Great question. And, we're going to run out of time. Dennis, if you hang tough, I'll just take your call after we're done here, okay? Because I've only got about 20 seconds left today. Listen, I really appreciate everybody and all of the comments, questions, emails we had today. I appreciate that. If you have more, shoot those over to us, petsofinancial.com. And I'd like to hear your ideas for things you want to talk about in our education segment as well as our general segment. Everybody have a safe weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petso Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petso, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petso Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Petso and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot fully guarantee against loss. The past performance does not guarantee future results.